This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
Who was the MVP of the Cubs series win over the Orioles?
I don't think it was Willie Castro, but I want to say it was Willie Castro because he's new and it's fun.
I thought for sure you were going to say Willie Castro.
Wait, you guys were like that intense about it?
I was. I'm talking about your intensity about Willie Castro. Like, she's definitely going to say Willie Castro.
You had a Willie Castro skip in your step today when you came in.
I just love it when you make a sneaky decision and it's like, glad I called that guy, like Billy Madison and Steve Buscemi, you know? That's what you want. You want the glad I called that guy. And I feel like that's what he was. Especially when he hit a triple, too.
All sick.
That's when I'm into it.
Saturday, like, triple.
I need some more power out of the Cubs bats in general. I think that has been well established. All right, fine. Willie Castro is my MVP this weekend.
Yes!
Welcome to Chicago,
game
Willie.
Week.
In 10
week.
Years, they game will say you week. Never lived here.
So mine's a little less traditional, I guess, is what I'm going to say.
I'm glad you got that.
I just did. Sorry. I was too busy chanting Bears Week.
I can't
sorry.
Wait for your first Bears Monday, Willie Castro.
He's going to have a good time.
Bear.
So as far as MVP for this series, this is going to sound it's not going to make sense, but I'm going to make it make sense, or at least try.
I like where you're going, kid.
My MVP for this series, I hate the way you just said that.
Potster.
My MVP for this series, it's Matthew Boyd.
Okay.
It's Matthew Boyd.
Okay.
They didn't win the game. I understand. But you know what? They can win this war because of what Matthew Boyd showed me against the Orioles. If that really was just a blip, the giving up 5 runs and a start, and he's back to the dude I saw pitch over the weekend, the Cubs have a fighting chance to win this division. And not just win the division, but to have a top 2 record and to skip the first round of the playoffs.
It was really nice to cheer on him in the crowd on Saturday. I was like, thank you for everything you've done.
I also have a question in relation to Matthew Boyd. Now, I think this was a Mark Grody Award designated for the White Sox specifically. But, Mr. Grody, does Matthew Boyd qualify as a contender for the that guy deserved better award?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yes. So let me look. 7 innings, no runs, 8 strikeouts, 0 walks, and the Cubs lost the game in which he started. He deserved better, Ray. He deserved better.
Ding, 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 ding. It's the Mark Grody Jose Quintana Memorial. He deserved better award.
I do two things.
Even though
in
Jose
life.
Quintana is very much alive and pitching for the Brewers.
I give out bears and I tell you if you deserve better. That's what I do in life. That's my life.
The best part of the game for me with the Matthew Boyd, remember, he walked 5 guys, including the first 2 batters, his last time out.
Last time, not yesterday.
But yesterday,
0
walks,
8 strikeouts,
15 strikes swinging. That is a season high.
Wow.
I may have yelled "I love you" at one point after one of the strikeouts.
Were you drinking the Mai Tais? Were you drinking the Mai Tais or something, Layla?
No.
You sounded very sentimental out there.
I was like, I love this.
It was a sentimental day.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's not a serious I love you. It's like, I love what you're bringing to the show.
Okay.
Or in this case, I love what you brought to the game.
Can I go outside the box a little bit for mine?
Yeah, of course you can. I'm what I just did. I went in a game that they didn't even win.
I'm inspired by you. So I'm going to just say it. My MVP... Look, I know who the hero of the day yesterday was. It was Justin Damn Turner, first pitch hunting. But low-key, guys, we cannot, because we've ripped on Dansby Swanson so many times for not coming through with runners in scoring position. Not only did he come through with an RBI with a runner in scoring position yesterday, it was with 2 outs.
Ooh,
it was with 2 outs.
Texas leaguer for
you? Little Texas leaguer. That's exactly what Pat Hughes called it. I was listening on the radio at that time. Little Texas leaguer there from our guy, Dansby Swanson.
Bloop.
And, yeah, a little bloop. And so I was like, yeah. Good for Dansby.
Do you know what those do? They're hits.
They're hits?
Yep, I'll take them.
Well, I think Pat even said something to the effect of, you know, doesn't really matter. That felt like a 107-mile-per-hour shot off his bat just because of his struggles with two outs. So I'm going to go Dansby with a little honorable mention to Cade Horton just because he was really good on Friday in an important game.
Dansby. Also, can somebody get Pat Hughes a backpack?
Oh, yeah.
How about Pat Hughes saying he's never owned a backpack? That's all I use.
And he kept asking Zach how it's used. Now, how do I use this Zach pack? And Zach was like, well, you unzipper it, you put stuff in it, and then you zip it back up, and then you put it on your back, and then you walk off.
And did I also hear that Coombe has never owned a backpack or is not a current backpack owner? There was a lot to unpack there.
By the way, for the record, Pat has a briefcase, so he does have a carrying case.
Did he have the briefcase in grade school? These are my questions.
Like the briefcase that our dads might have used, you know, like the hardcover,
leather bound, the brown plastic handle.
Yeah, maybe it was just
the
my
lock
dad.
On it too. The combination.
Yes, the combo lock.
I thought the briefcase had been replaced by the man satchel. You know,
I've been considering a man satchel. Do you think I could pull it off?
Yeah, although, you know, then you feel lopsided because you're carrying something heavy and it's not. The backpack evenly distributes the weight.
I'm an advocate of the man satchel.
Yeah? Oh, you're going to get you. I'm just trying to get
one right here.
Oh, there it is.
I'm okay with that. I don't feel off center.
I'm in the process of trying to consolidate, like, wallet, phone, keys, apartment. You know what I mean?
If that's all you got, we need you a fanny pack.
Well, I have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of baggage, and I carry it in my backpack.
Oh, nice. Backpack. Yeah, I have a backpack now. Yeah.
Number two.
The Cubs get a 3-game set tonight against the Reds. Bears. Right-hander Michael Soroka, with a 3-8 record and a 4.87 ERA, will make his first start as a Cub since joining the team ahead of the trade deadline from the Washington Nationals. What do the Cubs need out of Soroka tonight in his debut?
Well, number one, I'm not even as concerned about the Cubs with Soroka as I am the Cubs versus Lodolo. Mm. Like, that hasn't gone well for them. Again, crafty, good lefty. I don't even know if he's crafty. He's just good at his job. So when I consider that piece of it, what you want to see out of Soroka, especially when you know that the Cubs have used, I think, more bullpen than they would like to have used over the weekend, I guess a quality start is probably the benchmark. That's what you would love to see out of a trade acquisition who's expected to start.
I would like him to go more than the 3 1/3 he went the last time out in his last start.
maybe things were going on. Maybe it was a little uneasy. You don't know where you're headed.
Are we headed for a John Birdie game? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
not again.
Not again.
How many regular appearances is John
he's
Birdie
got a,
getting?
He's going to
qualify.
Log.
He's going to end up qualifying for stats at this rate.
The guy's got a log.
To your point, log. 16 starts he's made. You want a quality start. He's only been 6 innings 4 times in those 16 games. I just want to start it's with
25%
that.
25% of the time.
25% of the time. Now, the good news is, in those 4 starts in which he went 6 innings, he gave up 3 runs or less.
Well, that so, qualifies.
So, 25. You got a 25% chance based on the history. I would like to see how a new team and a new energy, no longer being on the Nationals, kind of qualifies him. Because he could have been in that bloodbath over the weekend against the Brewers. He was not. So, now you've got a team that technically could score some runs for you.
That was a bloodbath. That is a very good word for that.
Yeah. I mean, give me like a Colin Ray game. You know what I mean? Give me 5 innings. What did Colin Ray yesterday? 4 2/3. I guess I would take that. My expectations aren't too high. Do you guys know that Mike Soroka is only 28 years old?
No.
He's 28.
He felt more veteran to me.
As with everything with Soroka, even when they got him, God, that would have been awesome in 2019 when he was an all-star, or 2020 when he was an opening day starter. This is a former first-round pick, so I always think back to those Atlanta days. I'm like, God, if they could have that guy, that would be way more interesting than this guy who, yeah, 5 innings is about what I would expect out of Mike Soroka tonight. And I also don't like, it's weird. I know, I understand. This is, the Cubs are doing what they have to do with their starting staff. But in the heat of a pennant race in August, I just don't like the idea that we're talking about this with what do you expect? We're talking about a guy who none of us is necessarily expecting to go more than 5 innings
well,
tonight.
Well, here's the issue, though. They traded for him, and they have an expectation. And while the Cubs' offense isn't firing on all cylinders, which we very much know, when you consider the bloodbath scores that Marshall talked about with the Brewers and Nats, 16-9 on Friday, 8-2 on Saturday, 14-3 yesterday.
Wow.
They're not doing that. The Cubs aren't doing it.
No matter how long he goes, whether it's four innings or five innings or six innings, if he can just give up three runs or less, I'm satisfied with Mike Soroka. Because you're in the game.
Same.
Satisfied with Soroka.
I just hate that that's where we are. We're talking about that would be satisfying in the middle of a pennant race. It just doesn't feel right.
It's cognitive dissonance, yes.
Yes, Bears.
Number three.
No player in Major League Baseball has more than Kosta Montgomery's 7 home runs, 1 homer behind Philly slugger Kyle Schwarber, and 21 RBIs since the All-Star break. Is he the best player in the city of Chicago right now?
Okay. Wait, I thought we were just going best shortstop discussion, which we've done many a time.
No, he doesn't even play shortstop
here
every
day. Here in ye city of Chicago, how many times was it Javi Baez versus Tim Anderson?
Oh, yeah.
Both, like 2016-ish at the beginning of the season. Remember when that was the hot discussion?
It was a great discussion.
But you're going best player in city of Chicago?
Good luck with this one, Layla. Lead us off, kid.
I'm very happy with what he's doing, and I'm very happy he's here, especially after, of course, as we mentioned, the insane path that it took, relatively speaking, for him to get here. Arizona League was not in my bingo card. But is he the best player in the city of Chicago? No.
Is he the best player on the White Sox?
Probably.
He's the hottest player in the city of Chicago.
It should
right
be
now.
Luis Robert, but it's not. But they're going to pay him like he's going to be apparently next year. But you can't ignore what he's doing. He made adjustments. He then not only made adjustments, but continued to keep making them. The better question is this going to be a Miguel Vargas-like flash this season, or is it going to be sustainable? And I think the torpedo bat has helped him. Mm. Like that is something where I feel like it was a flash in the pan, relatively speaking, in a lot of games early in the season. But he's making it work for him. Stay with it. Keep doing what you're doing and make it consistent. And then we have a real discussion.
Well, hey, man, consider... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll go real quick. It was just on my mind, considering the fact that there were moments when I heard... David Haw on his solo show today. We've got three people on our show.
Why?
I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty that we have a three-person show and David's out here doing yeoman's work.
He reminded me, or they did, I think Dustin was in on the conversation, that there was a moment where there was thoughts that Loveland, that Colson was never even going to come, never going to make it to the White Sox, that he may have been out of the organization. Now here he is hitting hot, and it just shows you what patience can do. So he's the hottest player right now, but of course he's not the best player in Chicago.
You know, the other thing is too is that Nick Kurtz, the rookie for the A's, just got player of the month for the American League, and even Nick Kurtz has fewer second half home runs than Colson Montgomery.
Like I said, only Schwarber is the only one who's out homered him since the All-Star break. I'll say this, the man did not hit a home run in his first 14 major league games. He has homered in 7 of his last 11 games. Grody's right. He absolutely is the hottest player in Chicago. Although cases could be made for Aaron Civale and also Cade Horton, who have yet to give up an earned run since the All-Star break.
But nothing says pennant race like Colson Montgomery, Aaron Civale, and Cade Horton.
Hey, I'm just telling you where the guys are.
You're right. I'm not. You're right.
I think we've all just about had it with your Aaron Civale talk.
No,
I mentioned him one time.
Hey, did he do the job? Did he go out and do the job
Absolutely.
He was asked to do? That's all he can do.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm glad we got a White Sox fan in here. Really, it keeps us honest.
No,
man.
No, but seriously.
Keeps me honest.
Colson Montgomery, is he the best player for the White Sox right now? Absolutely.
Hundo.
Is he the best player in Chicago right now? I say yes, right now,
yes.
In this moment.
Yes,
7 home
that.
Runs in his last 11 games. I'm saying it.
I think
what
the
about Giddy?
Was,
where do you put Giddy in this?
Don't do
finally, we're asking some good questions around here.
Why?
About time.
We need to strive to mention Josh Giddy in two more times in this show.
We have a quota to hit. Yeah, we've got to hit the quota.
When did Luka
Doncic...
What if
he's not here next year? Does our show just implode?
I think that's when I'm gone. I follow him. That's in my contract.
I thought you were following Zanny.
Oh, shoot.
I mean...
It was so cute. It was Giddy. So cute watching Danny talk to Robbie, a.k.a. Danny.
Oh, because they're twinsies,
it's like,
right?
It's my dad.
Danny, yeah. Mini Danny.
He's like your radio
dad. Yeah.
Danny, Robbie. They rhyme.
Danny is not old enough to be your dad.
You don't know that.
I do. Danny, actually, I know both of you two's ages.
Danny acts like
we know
he's
at 14.
Older,
Danny wasn't, you know, doing those activities to
teenage day.
Number four.
I don't know. This high school football team's not good enough.
Go on.
No.
The Braves beat the Reds in the MLB Speedway Classic at Bristol Motor Speedway and set an MLB record with 91,000 in attendance. Is there a non-traditional place you would like to see a sporting event held?
Yes, I would like for that to be with plentiful amounts of food and shelter. What happened, man? This isn't the way.
What happened was that's a NASCAR venue where you are allowed to bring in food and beverage. Guess what? Major League Baseball said you are not allowed to bring in food and beverage, and so therefore they were not staffed to what needed to happen to feed and give enough beverages to 91,000 plus.
What's the first question I ask both Crane Kenny and Brooks Boyer at the beginning of every baseball season? What can we bring into the ballpark? And as somebody who carries a bag, and I'm a girl, and we have stuff that we don't want people to see necessarily because you shouldn't always have to deal with it. The point being, you want to know what you can bring in and what you can't, and what the logistics are. If the Firefest documentary taught me anything, you've got to be able to feed people, especially when you're making them wait. This was a bad combination. So whatever it has to be next, it's got to be something that can actually handle the infrastructure.
I want to see an NBA game on the top of a skyscraper on one of those rooftop courts. That's what I want to see. I think that'd be fun.
I like it.
The spatial orientation would be
and outdoors,
difficult.
So, you know, like kind of a cage setting.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to see some physicality because the shooting's going to be a little bit off.
Sold. I like it.
Oh, that would be scary.
I guess. How about a Cubs-Sox game at Grant Park?
Ooh.
How about that?
I could sign up for that.
Could that be logistically possible?
Mid-Lollapalooza?
Would buildings be in trouble?
I know a guy who we could ask. He's coming up at one. The mayor.
Oh, Brando, what do you think?
Put in the chamber.
I think he likes a good sports hypothetical.
I think he would like that. Grant Park is a nice place that just held down Lollapalooza over the last 4 days. So, yeah, I want more sporting events other than softball leagues. That was the best place ever to play softball, by the way, in Grant Park. With the buildings abound. So, yes, I would like to see Cubs Sox at Grant Park.
I guess if I had to think of one venue, you know, I thought the basketball game in the aircraft carrier was really cool.
Yes.
But unfortunately, the wind got to it. That was the buzzkill.
Wind's going to do that on the skyscraper, too.
We know the wind here.
Number five.
Last question, two-minute drill here on Five on It. Which bear has gotten your attention through the first 2.5 weeks of training camp?
I hate to say it, but the way that everybody's talked about Kyle Monongo has gotten to me.
Mm.
He's doing all the things that the coaches want him to do, and the players are also echoing the same ideas. So when you consider that part of it, I understand why they're happy about him. Coachable players are they get a leg up in the league.
That is usually how that goes. For me, it's Ozzie Trapillo, because have you seen Ozzie Trapillo compared to everybody else? He's that large. I just can't. I can't take my eyes off of him when I'm watching the offensive line do anything. I'm like, that dude's so big. When he pops up out of his stance, when they're in the huddle, whatever. That dude is huge.
I saw Colston Loveland at full speed for the first time yesterday at Soldier Field, and he moves differently. He looks different than other guys on the field. And I even asked it, like, after the practice, I said that exactly to TJ Edwards. I said, does he look different? And TJ Edwards was like, yeah. Even though Tremaine Edmonds covered him really well, by the way, in a couple of plays. But he's the guy that was they were lining him up on all sorts of different, like, you were seeing it. Like, Ben Johnson used a lot of motion at Soldier Field yesterday. Yes. And Colston in motion, popping around into the slot. I almost loved just watching Colston run his routes and the way they were using him. And that ain't half of probably what Ben Johnson would like to do once he's a supposedly finished product or ready to go full force. So it is Colston Loveland.
Bears. A lot of bears. So bears. Coming up next, it is time for us to get back to some baseball talk, because there are some numbers, and we mentioned it, the offensive struggles for the Cubs. Not only is it affecting one individual, it might have been doing so for a pretty long time. We'll take you back in time to June for a pattern that continues to this day. That's next on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's the price tag going to be for Kyle Tucker?
I think the over-under is $450 million.
Would you put the Cubs as the favorite?
Yes.
Okay. I like that.
Will Kyle Tucker be shaking his moneymaker, a.k.a. the bat, in Chicago next year? That was Danny talking to Jeff Passan last week during the Radiothon. And I guess it's a discount if the number's gone below $600 million, which is what Jim Bowden wanted to say it was. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in as well. And the reason we bring up Kyle Tucker is because we had been watching his July numbers for quite some time. That was something that I feel like we were, I don't want to say ahead of, but I think we were watching it. It came up during a conversation on Five on It about a week ago at this time, Marshall, where we were talking about Kyle Tucker's July numbers. And at that time, he only had two extra base hits for the entire month of July. It didn't end well for Kyle Tucker when it came to the lack of power. And there are some extended stats that also support this. If you go back to his pre-July numbers for his batting, the average exit velocity on a ball that he would hit prior to July was 91.2 miles an hour. Since then, it's down to 87.5.
That is a sizable drop off.
That is what you would call statistically significant. Like when we talk about good to great and what makes people outliers, these are measurable differences. The hard hit ball percentage went from 45.6 to 27.8. And the barrel rate pre-July went from 12.9% down to 2.8% last month.
Barreling balls is important, and it seems like he's been unable to do that as of late. I think he's, what's interesting is he's a 4.6 WAR player, right? And his overall statistics, when you talk about like an on-base percentage of 389, that's great. That is fantastic.
We love that for you.
But when you talk about a guy that you're talking about paying close to, if not a half a billion dollars to on his next contract, you got to have the pop.
And right now it's not popping. For the month of July total, he ends up extra base hit-wise with one home run and only three doubles. And that's where there's some cause for concern. Now, we talk about backstage, a.k.a. our show meetings, and Ryan Porth had brought up what his numbers were. Maybe he thought there was a correlation to what happened when in June he slid into second base and he hurt his finger. So this is something that, of course, if we thought about it, you know what I always say, if we're thinking about it, somebody else is too. And well, what do you know? Boog Shambi, our friend, talked about it on the Marquee broadcast, also wondering what we are, if maybe there's a correlation there.
Here comes Kyle Tucker to the plate. Tuck struck out swinging his first time. He's been in a funk. There's no question about it. You look at Tucker over the course of the last 24 games, and he's hitting just .210, and over that stretch he has only four extra base hits. Now, there is an aspect of that stretch that we haven't really talked about, and that is to rewind. Now, he recently fouled a ball off of his knee, but if you remember back in early June, June 1st to be exact, he was sliding into second base, and his right hand curled underneath him. He injured his right index finger. Look at the way the right hand gets under his body and eventually pops back out. But it forced him to come out of that game and then miss a game. And the hand really has not been right since then. So you're talking about 2 months of him playing through it, and the power has suffered. And look, he's got some quirks to him. He's a guy that he grabs the bat really hard.
He likes to, it's not like softly nestled in his fingers. He squeezes the bat. And that right index finger, the gas pedal, as Dustin Kelly calls it, it's been hard for him.
After hearing that from the Marquee Sports Network, I don't know how you don't listen to that and say to yourself, there might be a situation where Kyle Tucker isn't exactly himself since that point. This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score, and the segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
What's interesting about this, though, Layla, is we know that injury happened the beginning of June, right? If you look at the June numbers for him, he actually had his best month of the season from an OPS standpoint in the fact that he hit .311, his on-base percentage was .404, and he slugged .578 in the month of June. That's the best slugging percentage we've seen out of him all season. The problem is the next month, not only did the batting average fall from .311 in June to .218 in July, the on-base percentage dipped a little bit, .404 to .380, but .380 is still very good. The slug, .295. That is almost just half, barely half of what he was slugging in the month of June. .295 is not going to done any which way.
Yeah, when I mentioned the hit velocity in the barrel, that's slug. So something's going on with the bat consistently.
I'm just wondering why the fall off happened in July and not June as far as the slug is concerned.
Should we hope it's the index finger? Or I guess if it is the index finger, I guess we hope that it gets better soon. But since we don't know for a fact that that's what's bugging him. But I would imagine, like, Boog doesn't just come out of that out of nowhere. Right. Unless he's been thinking about this thing from 2 months ago all this time. So he may have, you know, it could have been with Craig Counsell in their off-the-record meeting. It could be on background. It just says to me that could very well be what it is. I thought, like, low-key, really interesting to hear, because we see the Kyle Tucker stance when he gets up there. It's a very aggressive, ready-to-hit. I didn't know that he gripped the bat that tightly, but that sounds about right, just seeing the way he is up there and how that can affect things. So that was really good insight from Boog.
The right finger being the gas pedal, he mentioned.
Yes.
That's what makes this so crucial. And that index finger being the key to his swing, that's mechanics. Like, that's really cool seam head inside stuff. That's also why you have a hitting coach. But if it is an issue, and it's looking like it might be, then the better question might be, what's the answer? The thing about it is, too, is we always talk about injuries. Players have to want to not play or be willing to not play in order to make that work. Like, Dansby Swanson was a good example last year. We knew that something might be wrong. Well, come to find out in the offseason, we know that he had core surgery. Yeah, sometimes guys don't want to come out.
I look at it. And you mentioned Dansby last year. I'm thinking about Dansby on Saturday. You know, he didn't want to be out of the lineup in Saturday's game, which, of course, Castro played second, and then Nico Horner shifted over to shortstop. But it feels like Kyle Tucker, because he's still valuable as a guy who can get on base, 21 walks last month, it feels like they're going to have him in there because he's still a valuable part of the offense, even if maybe, I don't know if he should be moved, because the on-base percentage is still there. I just think there's other things that Craig Counsell might be able to do to work around him if that's what the issue is. I don't know if it's injury or not, though.
It could also be as simple as he's not getting as much his pitch to hit. You know, middle in is that wheelhouse for him. But he's somebody whose numbers override that. He's not just a one-pitch hitter.
I don't think Boog Shambi goes through that whole thing like he just did on Saturday and early in the game. If he doesn't know a little something, like, you don't hear a lot of speculating when it comes to the play-by-play broadcast on Marquee.
And credit to the Wrigley Wire, who I think does a really good job with stats. Like, this one was notable to me that they put out yesterday. Since the All-Star break, Michael Busch, Kyle Tucker, and Seiya Suzuki have combined to hit .157 with 11 RBI. That's my problem.
Yeah. But I'm not – that's bad, and that has affected the Cubs. Ultimately, I trust what they have done up to this point, that they will all snap out of it, unless there is some prohibitive injury with any of these guys. mostly Kyle Tucker when we talk about that.
Yeah,
we talked, I'm not worried. Are you guys worried? Well, like, ultimately, I know there is worry now, but I think the big thing is, can you say to yourself, do you trust this team? Do you trust this core that they are what they are? And that is really good. Or do you think now we're going to see this slide?
I think we have several players that we've mentioned that have outperformed what their career norms are. Right.
Ooh. So that's scary then.
Well, not scary necessarily, because I love the Willie Castro pickup for that reason. That it can be kind of a stabilizing force, give guys a day off when they really, really need a break. It's a lot different to see Castro in the lineup versus Vidal Brujan in the lineup. I like that Dansby Swanson is now back towards the bottom of the order, if not at the bottom of the order in this, because he's certainly struggled offensively. I think the bigger thing is, are they going to be good enough from a pitching standpoint to not put extra pressure that the offense has to put up 5, 6, 7 runs every game to be able to win the game?
And credit to our texters for the next logical step in this discussion, which is, for example, 773. Ridiculous that he's not on the injured list for 10 days rather than struggle for a month and a half. But here's the thing. We don't know that that's true. We're just trying to figure out. We're trying to find the whys. I'm sorry, Mark. I had to do
Matt
it.
Nagy.
I had
to. We've been trying to answer Matt Nagy's whys for decades now. So we'll get there.
Why?
And David Haw's whys. Whose whys are more important, Haw's or Nagy's?
I'm going to say Haw's because they're still relevant.
Yeah, David's still working here.
Although, that's true. Solo. He's a solo show.
Hey, Matt Nagy just got another, you know, he got a ring 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
He did. I still think he's going to be the next head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think he's going to get another head coaching job.
I do too. Yeah. No,
we are still trying to figure out if this is a legitimate why. Like, is this why we've seen what we've seen in July?
Why?
Yes. I mean, it's a great question. And I'm going back and forth in my head. Do I want it to just be because of injury, or because if it's just a slump, Kyle Tucker will snap out of it. If any of these guys, like their history says, they're going to be good throughout the season, it's Kyle Tucker.
Not his job to carry Michael Bush, for example, or say a Suzuki. You know, that's part of this too, is I think as much as protection and a lineup can help a team, I wonder if this is also hurting it in the same way.
I hope it is injury related.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hope it is not injury related. I hope it is just a slump. If it's just a slump, everybody has a bad month.
Right.
It's fine. But the concerning lack of the power and the pop, that's something we got to keep an eye on.
Solution.
Well, and veterans, it is usually no more than this length, right?
Right. About
like
a month.
A good veteran.
We've seen like 6 weeks at max, because otherwise you would be like, okay, we're going to sit you down and figure out what's going on.
When you consider the career war for Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
And that's the big piece of this, not just what you did last year.
Yeah.
When you consider that part of it, the numbers say it's not going to consistently go like this.
Layla, how about this? Let me give you a solution. We have problems. We have solutions to both of you. How about for Kyle Tucker, not PCA, unless PCA, you know, keeps striking out, give him Wednesday and Thursday off. Well, Thursday's an off day, right?
Yes.
Give him Wednesday off. Give Kyle Tucker the 2-day reset. He'll come out of it fine on Friday. You guys look skeptical.
It's just because it's the Reds, too.
Yeah.
It's in the division.
You have a chance to bury a team, bury the team.
Yeah.
And frankly, isn't Abbott also in the probables for this series?
Yes, he
is. So you have Abbott and
Lodolo. He's pitching Wednesday.
Yeah, and both of those pitchers have done what to the Cubs this year? Like, challenge them.
Yeah.
So that's a big piece of it for me, too. Coming up next, it is halftime. Do we have the audio? We do.
Groats,
how do you want to describe this?
Oh, well, I thought that it would be good to talk a little bit about the awesomeness of this city this weekend with all the events going on, with Lollapalooza happening, with a Bears practice happening, with a Cubs game going on. So I did bring it up at Soldier Field with one of the Bears linebackers, and I thought that could lead us into a little Chicago summer Lollapalooza talk.
Love it. That's next here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on, what time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime. We had a lot to discuss here on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody and on The Score. Number one, we asked the most important question on August 4th. Is it game week? Yes. Yes, it is. The Bears play on Sunday, ergo, game week is here. And the people were happy. Cubs take 2-3 from the Orioles, but it wasn't easy, as we mentioned. Justin Turner is joining us next, by the way. And we had 5 on it at 11 and talked about Kyle Tucker's finger injury and how it might be a reason he didn't have the best July ever.
It's halftime.
I was at Soldier Field yesterday taking in the Bears practice. We talked a lot about that in the very beginning of the show. If you want to hear the positives and negatives from the practice, you can go back on the Odyssey app and check that out in our first hour. But, of course, I had time for fun because this was a jacked weekend in the city of Chicago. So I asked Chicago native TJ Edwards about it.
Staying here last night, did you guys feel the whole vibe of the city right now with Lollapalooza going on, or did you guys just kind of get in the hotel and lay low?
Yeah, I was good besides my buddies, you know, sending me videos and stuff. I'm like, bro, like, I'm trying to lock in right now. They're having a good time and all that, but no, it's cool, right? I mean, summertime shy, baby. It's the place to be. So it was awesome to kind of get down here and honestly get out to Soldier and just with all the fans, you know, obviously to break it up from practicing at house and kind of get on the game field, man. It was awesome.
Summertime shy baby from TJ Edwards. Two things. I did not go to Lollapalooza. Like, I'm too old for it, but I want to go still every year.
You're
not too old.
Okay, good. Because I still probably will go in the years to come. I just didn't go this year. I thought about it, had some bad FOMO when I could kind of hear Korn playing in the distance and all that was going on and reading about some of the cool things. Now, Sabrina Carpenter brought Earth, Wind, and Fire up onto the stage.
Love that.
Which is pretty cool. And Olivia Rodrigo brought up Weezer, who sang two Weezer, Say It Ain't So, and Buddy Holly. And somebody on our text line, I just noticed this, says, I was at Lala on Friday, and Olivia Rodrigo proved what I've been preaching. She's our next 90s alternative rock star. What a show. From Olivia Rodrigo.
I agree
Rodrigo.
With that.
Yeah, I've always thought she had a bit of a 90s vibe, but unfortunately, you know, it's 2025, but I still like it. I still like the vibe. And she was at the Cubs game on Saturday.
Oh, was she? I didn't know
she
that.
She was. And she hung out for most of the game.
Really?
I checked and I think she left around the 8th inning.
Were
or so.
You stalking Olivia Rodrigo? Were
you Are you walking? Kidding? I was like, Mike Lowe sang the 7th inning stretch. I'm like, Olivia Rodrigo came to watch Mike Lowe sing the 7th inning stretch. Obviously.
Obviously.
That is one way to put it. Now, while you were suffering from FOMO.
Yes.
I was actually enjoying my JOMO.
Which is?
The joy of missing out.
What?
Mark, how far apart would you say we live from each other?
Blocks. Would that be fair?
Four blocks
yeah.
from each other. So if he can hear it, that means I can also hear it. And
he's putting up the soundproofing.
Shut
up, Lollapalooza!
My window stayed close. And my window literally faces out towards, it faces due east. So that's the direction the sound is coming from. And I was just like, you know what? I'm glad all these people are having a good time, but I don't want to go. People are asking me every day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, people ask me, do you want to go to Lala? Do you want to go to Lala? And I'm like, I'm good. I'm good on the music
festival.
I mean,
I understand people, like, I never fight back against people who don't want to go to Lala because it is a massive humanity. It really is. And it can be exhausting, but if you're into the music, you're into the music.
And the words of the Little Mermaid, I want to be where the people are.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm an extrovert and I don't mind crowds.
It hurt me. Yeah.
I live in the city, so I'm used to sharing. You know, sharing is caring for me. I was bummed I missed Olivia Rodrigo, and then I was supposed to go to the after show for Rufus Du Sol on Saturday, but at that point I was in about hour 25 of a headache that I think was a migraine that started with, it was like sinus pressure. I think the fire smoke wasn't great for me, and I tried to avoid it for a couple of days because like we were doing the show and stuff. But then what I did actively try to spend time outside, I don't think it just didn't go well. You know, Friday night I was outside, I was at a friend's goodbye party, and then I think physically being outside was not great for me, and it added up.
Let's get down to the sidelines and Robbie Triano. Robbie?
Well, I had massive FOMO. Like, I've been to Lala front and back, like, day one to the last day. Spent the whole time there four times. I went there the last 2 years. I didn't go this year. Had massive FOMO. But the JOMO that I did not miss was the crowds there are insane, but also there's not like you can just walk past someone if you're watching a show. Like, these little 18-year-olds are pushing you and shoving you, and that is the part that makes me freak out a little bit.
And that they're naked. I mean, that
and
is
they're
a
half
little
naked,
bit freaky.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, yeah. That can be...
It is overwhelming, the amount of people there, if that freaks you out, but the music is so incredible, yeah. And the food.
They had some really good headliners this year, too. Like, Martin Garrix was last night, for example. I know, wasn't ASAP last night too?
ASAP Rocky.
And Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, correct. Carpenter. I think she closed it down.
You know who was amazing that I saw on social media? I was like, I kind of wish I was seeing this show. Doci.
Oh, yes, our friend Doci from the Open.
I had reviews that was the best set of the whole weekend.
She brought out a car that said her name, and I think that's when she made her tour announcement.
Oh, wait, there is.
And I was like, is it because you were featured in the Rahimi and Harris Open?
But when I want to live vicariously.
Rame, thank you for that one.
As we talk about Lollapalooza and everything that was going on in this city over the weekend, when I want to live vicariously, I just text my boy Gabe Ramirez, who knew better than to ask me if I was coming to Lollapalooza.
Gabe could have gotten you in VIP backstage.
He was there.
Yes, he could have.
Hulu,
but guess what?
Ramirez.
I was like, I'm not going. Gabe was hosting for Hulu the whole thing. And he was doing a phenomenal job from what I saw.
Gabe, secure the bag, Ramirez.
Guys.
The man is an artist.
Do you guys know who opened? Do you know who the very first band was to open the mic at Lollapalooza?
This year?
Jane's Addiction?
No. Did Jane's Addiction do something? Did they do like a little pop-up show?
Well, Perry Farrell is the guy that runs Lollapalooza.
I once
went to Lollapalooza and saw that man as... The concert was letting out day two. I had the 3 day pass Saturday night of that weekend. I saw him on a golf cart riding around.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, George McCaskey.
He was walking our hallways a few months ago. That's when I did the porno for pirates. Remember? That's what I called them. Because he was here with
you
his band
porno for pyros.
And I called it porno for pirates. They make great pets. But yeah, he was just hanging out down the hallway.
Paul Skeens and Andrew McCutcheon.
They make great pets.
There was a band called Silly Goose that opened at Lollapalooza. They sound like the Beastie Boys, like they're trying to do a Beastie Boys impersonation.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, no.
Every time you said corn, by the way, I kept thinking of the, because I just saw the Woodstock 99 documentary.
Oh, so good.
Ooh, da da ka hoo.
When I said corn, I thought of Robbie at Chipotle trying to choose whether or not he wanted corn.
A part of me.
Well, and then they're basically trying to ask corn to calm the crowd down.
That doesn't seem like a great idea.
Hey, band we hired, can you do the exact opposite of the thing you're paid to do?
One of my Lollapalooza memories was I got to see Rage Against the Machine at Lollapalooza, and Zach De La Rocha had to try and calm the crowd down.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I mean,
man.
I'm paying you for one job. That job is to do your job, and calm the crowd down isn't one of the jobs. I'm sorry. That's security and infrastructure. There it is. That's infrastructure's job. You know what I'm saying?
You know the Woodstock. You know how the Woodstock started with corn? It was, are you ready?
Grody, you miss it. You were sad you didn't go.
I should have gone. And you know what? Just as a slap in the face, not only did I not go, I picked two people up from the Palooza last night because it's right friends of mine who I drove to their car. So how about that for a slap in the face?
Poor Justin Turner is calling it, and he's like, why are they yelling about Lollapalooza? Justin Turner is next. I'm Rahimi and Harris with Sad Mark Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.